Good morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. What a joy it was for us to contemplate this morning on the love of God. The love that knows no bounds, no limitations, because He loved even me. We want to read, first of all, from the book of Acts in chapter 20. The book of Acts in chapter 20. We begin to read at verse 17. The Acts of the Apostles, better described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. 20 verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching and the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." What a farewell message. And what a testimony for a servant of God to be able to stand and say, "I am innocent of the blood of all men." What we're going to talk about today, beloved, is the servant of the Lord or the prophet of the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, we had prophets, but we also had prophets in the New Testament. Why we don't have the prophets, the classic a definition of prophets that was in the Old Testament, they are still prophets today. The difference is the prophets in the Old Testament, they tell forth, or the foretold, rather, the mind and the counsel of God, while the prophets in the New Testament, we tell forth God's message. A prophet is a proclaimer of the divine message. He is an interpreter of the oracles of God. And we have the testimony of the Apostle Paul as it relates to his ministry, his purpose, and his burden. But you've got to know what you're talking about if you can stand before an audience an audience of leaders, an audience of elders of the church, and be able to say these things. First of all, that I, and that's a very, very important statement. I have not held back from you anything that was profitable. In other words, I told you the whole truth. And secondly, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. We hold back things because we're not sure how it's going to go over. We're not sure who's going to be offended. So we are careful by the things we say, even though it's the truth. What we're going to talk about today is proclaiming the truth. First of all, proclaiming the truth in love. Then secondly, proclaiming the truth without fear. And thirdly, proclaiming the truth without deceit. That's our responsibility as servants, as preachers, as teachers of the word. And like the apostle, we should be able to stand and to say, I have not withheld from you anything that is profitable. And I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And we are living in times when preachers have to be careful, because somebody in the audience or somebody with authority might not like the truth. So we are careful because we don't want to offend, or we don't want to put ourselves or our ministry in jeopardy in that particular area. So we step lightly. And so we hold back. But not so with the Apostle Paul. And that's his testimony, getting ready to leave and recognizing that this might be the last time. He bids farewell to the Ephesian elders, and he was able to tell them without fear of contradiction, I have not withheld from you anything that is profitable. Now, how do we communicate this message? How do we tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? How do we minister God's word regardless of the feelings of others, but only to honor and to please the Lord? First of all, that communication must be in love. The truth in love, and we have that in Ephesians in chapter 4. These are the gifted men that God gave to the church. It says in verse 11 of chapter 4, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's why we need the whole truth. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of God's people. until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The maturity of God's people is important to the ministry, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If we're going to hold back, if we're not going to declare the whole counsel of God, then the church is in jeopardy of remaining babes. If we don't communicate the mind and the will of God in love, then we risk and not teaching the whole counsel of God, and we expose God's people to immaturity, to instability, and to gullibility. Somebody comes in with a strange doctrine that sounds good. Just like junk food, you have junk theology as well. Tastes good. Less filling, less nutritious. And we are gullible because we are not mature. We're not teaching the whole counsel of God. And that's what Paul says. That's the meaning of the ministry. That's the reason that we henceforth be no more children. We need to grow up. We need to be edified. We're not shifting from here to there, believing one thing and something else tomorrow, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Some slick talker comes along because he mentions Jesus, because he mentions some of the Word of God. We gravitate towards him. And he is not teaching the truth. And we see this in the religious world today. People are gathering tens of thousands of people, and they don't have anything that is satisfying, anything that's edifying to the church. Nothing that would edify their souls. Teach them to be in love with themselves. They're teaching them how to feel good about themselves. And they gather in those great cathedrals, coming in, depressed sinners, and leaving happy sinners, without God, without Christ. Someone reminded me of someone who came out of that system. The Lord saved him elsewhere. And he says, I was in that big church and they were loving me straight into hell. Nothing about his soul. Now the ministry must be communicated in love, and the purpose is that the people of God might be edified, built up, not carried away with every wind of doctrine, not the latest fad, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. And beloved, sometimes the truth is hard to take, but we have to communicate it in love. In love. And sometimes the truth, we don't want to hear the truth because it is in conflict with what we want to do. It kind of cramps our style. So don't tell me the truth. But if the servant of God is faithful, we must communicate the mind of God in love. You know how your parents used to say, I know mine did, this is going to hurt you. Hurt me more than it hurts you. back then I said, you should be in my place. but you're doing it for the good of the church, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Because the goal is, beloved, that we would all come unto this perfect stature and fullness of Christ, that we might mature, we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're hurting and you'd have to take medicine. And I don't have to tell you, medicine's not easy to take, and medicine never tastes good. But if you don't take it, it won't do your body any good. So we have to minister. We have to minister. You know, when I was a kid and my mother would give me medicine, it's bitter. Back in the islands, we take bitter medicine. But she gave me a little sugar. You know what I have? When I take the bitter medicine, I take a little sugar too, you know, to let it go down. And it always helped. But first, you have to take the medicine. Speaking the truth in love. When we come to the assembly, when we come to the people of God gathered, beloved, this is the place where we get the truth. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the church where the saints are gathered together, the church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. And that's where the people of God is supposed to be taught and edified and built up on our most holy faith. The prophet of the Lord, the servant of the Lord must communicate the mind and the will of God in love. The apostle Peter, speaking of communicating God's will, speaking of teaching God's word, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak the utterances of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have to communicate God's will, but let us make sure that we communicate it in love. Speak the truth in love. But we have to leave that because the clock is going real fast. Also, we must speak the truth without fear. And the apostle, as he writes to Titus, he told him exactly that, to communicate the truth without fear. In chapter 2, and we can't read all of it, but we have to read more. Verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The objections of those who do not want to do the, who do not want to hear the truth, notwithstanding. Let no man despise thee. Communicate the will of God. Speak the whole counsel of God. That's what he was saying to Titus. These things speak. Speak of the incarnation. Speak of the sacrificial death of the Lord, his burial and his resurrection. Speak of God's purposes. Yes, speak of the blood that some people don't even want to touch these days. Speak of the blood. Not only do we have people out there preaching that don't mention the blood, we have translations that seem to take the blood out of it. I don't know what you're reading, but If your Bible doesn't say in whom we have redemption through his blood, you need to write with it. And you're not adding because it's there. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. And preach it without fear. And God has called us to the ministry and called us to communicate his word. He expects us to be faithful because it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When God called young Samuel, he gave him a message that was, to him it was harsh. To young Samuel, he was afraid to tell Eli this message. In 1 Samuel in chapter 3, in verse 15 it says, "And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared." He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. You see, he was young. You see, this is the first time the Lord is speaking to him. You see, this message came at a time when the word of the Lord was scarce or rare in those days. And here was this revered high priest. And God was calling this youngster and telling him what was going to happen to Eli and his family. It's no wonder this youngster, and he was just a youngster, he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But verse 16 says, "Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me.'" That should encourage the youngster. "Hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that the Lord said unto thee." And I like this portion. I like this verse 18. It says, "And Samuel told him everything. 'I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have not held back from you anything that is profitable.'" Samuel told him everything. We don't have to figure out in our minds what you would like, what you would accept, and try to hold it back. These things teach and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The truth without fear. And Israel, God's earthly people, whenever they were going astray, they tried to intimidate the servants of the Lord. They tried to intimidate the prophets of the Lord. And they would say things like we have in chapter 30 of Isaiah, verse 9. This is a rebellious people. That's referring to the people of Judah. Lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Who say to the seers, those who can see the future, they say to the seers, see not. And they say to the prophets, prophesy not. We don't want to hear. We don't want to know. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. I mentioned some of those already. Prophesy deceit. Tell us the things we want to hear. We've got itching ears. We want to hear something new. We want to hear anything but the truth. Don't tell us the truth. Don't tell us what God has planned. But if we are faithful, beloved, we would speak the truth in love and we would speak the truth without fear. Let no man despise thee. There's a reason for that, beloved. Because the apostle has warned us in his very last letter that he wrote to Timothy. His very last writings of his great and marvelous ministry. As he comes to the end of his life, he charged Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, for the time will come, and this was written in the first century. I believe if it's written in the 21st century, it would go something like this. The time has come. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, just like the people of Judah. Prophesy to us deceits. Don't tell us about the truth. Tell us the things we want to hear. Tell us the things that would make us comfortable. Tell us the things that will make us feel good about ourselves. Preach the word, beloved. That's the exhortation. Be instant in season, out of season. For as there were rebellion back then, in the time of the prophet Isaiah, there is rebellion today. There is resistance to the truth. We've got our favorite preachers because they don't step on our toes. They make us feel good. So we like to go and listen to them. But some of those guys, they're really harsh, you know. They really, really take the word literally. I don't know. I don't know if anybody ever said to you, when you say something, they really don't want to believe. They don't really want to accept it. They say to you, well, how is it say in the original? And I say, it says the same thing in the original. It doesn't change. Samuel told him everything. Everything. Paul told them everything. All the counsel of God. The truth in love, the truth without fear, and the truth without deceit. Before I leave this, I want to go to 1 Kings in chapter 22. And we are really rushing here. 1 Kings in chapter 22, because this is one of my favorite people here. The more I study this, the more this prophet has become my hero. First Kings 22, verse 7 says, "And Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides?'" You know, these 400 lion prophets told Ahab, "You go up against Syria and you would conquer." Because that's what he wanted to hear. He was not concerned about the truth. "Is there not a prophet here of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king said, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah." That's my guy. "The son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me." He doesn't tell me what I want to hear. I don't like him. "But evil," and Jehoshaphat said, "Don't talk of that. Don't let another king say so. Anyhow, he must inquire of this prophet. He must inquire of Micaiah because Jehoshaphat insists. He already had 400 prophets telling him what he wanted to hear, but Jehoshaphat needed more. For the sake of time, let's just go down to verse 24. This man of God. No, we have to read 13 and 14. "And the messenger who was gone out to call Micaiah spoke unto him, saying, 'Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth.'" They told him what he wanted to hear. "Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." In other words, you go along to get along. Don't upset the king. Don't rock the boat. You got to roll with the punches, as it were. This is my man, verse 14. "And Micaiah said, 'As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak.'" I don't care what the king wants to hear. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a messenger of the God of heaven. And I'm going to speak exactly what he has given me to speak. I don't care what the other prophets say. Well, he's in trouble now with Ahab. Verse 24. "But Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'Which way the Spirit of the Lord went from me to speak unto thee?'" I wish we had time to talk about that. "And Micaiah said, 'Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself.' And the king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, put this fellow,'" this is the guy who was talking the truth. This is the guy who prophesied exactly what God wanted to say. "Thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come again in peace." Not a chance. till I come again in peace. Here's where the man of God stands up. Here's where the man of God is showing that he was sure about his prophecy. Here's a man of God who is standing on the word of God. And this is what he says. And Micaiah said unto, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. I'm false. Those 400 prophets of Baal, they're genuine. I am false. If you come back at all in peace, the Lord did not speak by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. He stood up for the message that the Lord has given him. Regardless of Ahab and his threats, regardless of the imprisonment, and regardless of the harshness with which he dealt with him, if you return in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. The truth without fear. Here's a man who stood up for the truth, regardless of the king's threat. He said something similar to what Moses said, you know, to Korah and those rebellious people. As they rebelled against Moses and his authority that God had given him, Moses said to them, if you die the normal death of a normal human being, if you are allowed to go through the process like every other one, then the Lord did not send me. That's when you know that you're standing on solid ground. The ministry is on the line. Your whole life and credibility is on the line. And if these things happen as you want them to happen, and not as I say, the Lord has not spoken by me. You speak the truth without fear, and you speak the truth without deceit. I have to get to the other point, even though I won't finish it. The truth without deceit. And everybody wants to be loved, and everybody wants to be appreciated. Yes, preachers want people to like them too. When it comes to the ministry, beloved, you have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You have to speak the truth in love. You have to speak the truth without fear, and you have to speak the truth without deceit. And here's the Apostle Paul, with the people that he loved, the people he had won through his travail and birth, the Galatians. They loved him when they received the gospel, but something happened. Somebody or some group bewitched them, and they were mixing the grace with the law. They were going back to Judaism, and he had to stand up and he had to tell them the truth without deceit. And this is what he says in chapter 4 of Galatians and verse 15. Where is then the blessedness he spoke of? For I bear you witness that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Oh, beloved, I don't know about you, but this really comes home. Because if you've been preaching for any length of time, you probably experience this. They love you at the beginning. They love you when they first heard you, but when you get down to the great doctrines of the New Testament and they're not prepared to go along with it, somehow you have become their enemy. Somehow they don't want to hear what you have to say. And that's where Paul found himself with the Galatians. Somebody contaminated their minds. He said later on, you did run well. Who did hinder you? that you should not obey the truth. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I gotta end it here, beloved, because our time is gone. But I want to leave you with one verse. Wish we had time to go into Jeremiah, but we don't. But I want to leave you with one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to close with this. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth without fear. And speaking the truth without deceit. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Oh, beloved, you and I, those of us who communicate this message, we need to have a conscience void of offense. We need to be able to say like the apostle, that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. We don't tailor the message to the audience. A brother from out of town came to me one time. I when I was finished speaking, he said, they let you speak like this here. Some places they won't let you. I said, well, that place I will go one time. One time. Because this is all I know. That's all I know. God help us as servants of the Lord to be faithful. To be faithful to the call of the Lord. To communicate His message. In love. Without fear. And without deceit. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee that Thy message is in Thy word. And as stewards of the mystery of the gospel, we are required to be faithful. Give us grace to strive for faithfulness, to strive for the edification and the building up of the body of Christ, for the teaching of the whole counsel of God, to teach Thy word in love, without fear, and without deceit. If we are faithful, then at the end of the day, we would hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. We thank Thee for Thy people here. We thank Thee for the love and the generosity of the saints. We thank Thee for the love of Your word among Thy people here. Lord, accept of our thanksgivings and part us now with Thy blessing resting upon us, and guide us by Thy counsel and lead us by Thy Holy Spirit, and glorify Thyself in us, we humbly pray. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.